All of us at some stage will go through an experience in life where what we really need is comfort. Now, not comfort in terms of being warm and cozy, but comfort deep down in our lives. Because whatever is going on, it's just chaos within us. And we want to know that comfort. The people to whom Isaiah spoke in this passage, which Mary read for us, those people were living in really dreadful times. Life was in turmoil. They didn't know how it was going to end. And so God speaks to them through Isaiah. God grabs their attention. And it's interesting that the first thing he actually says to them is about comfort. Despite all of the sins of this people, despite all that they have gone through, despite all that they are going through, the whole message of this passage is that God still cares. That God is still with you. It's a message of comfort. It's a message of hope. And so you can imagine this whole nation just hearing those words, comfort. Comfort, my people, says your God. All through Isaiah, there's this emphasis on the fact that God's promised one will come. God's Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, he will come. That's one of the big threads that runs right through the book of Isaiah. The Savior will come. And so he speaks with comfort. Now, sometimes we think of comfort as being somebody sort of patting you on the head, or there. It'll be fine. It's all right. Comfort, and this is going to sound as though I actually paid attention to my Latin classes in school, which, well, thankfully my Latin teacher is not around, so. Comfort comes from two Latin words, which simply mean with strength. So comfort is actually giving strength. And it makes sense. When do you need comfort? You need comfort whenever you feel weak. Whenever you feel that you just cannot cope with whatever's going on, you can't get on with it, you need that strength. And so God speaks that comfort, that strength into people's lives. So comfort, my people, is not a word of pity. It's not simply a patting on the head and some sort of trite saying that's said. When God comforts, it's a word of strengthening. It doesn't weaken us. It strengthens us. And as I've said, Isaiah's message is for people whose world has been absolutely shattered. If you go back and read through Psalm 137, you find people in exile, far from home, thinking, how on earth can we praise God here? Everything that we know, everything that we love, everything that we've depended on, it just has been torn away from us. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange place? And God speaks, comfort, comfort my people. Now sometimes comfort can be cheap, which is not just a waste of time, but it's also cruel. Because it's not based in any sort of reality. So when God speaks his comfort into any situation, it's a different thing. And I want to simply walk through this passage and look at some of the foundations for that comfort that God gives us. And the first thing is simply this, and we can pass over it so easily. In verse 1 of this passage, we simply read, comfort, comfort you, comfort my people, says your God. Your God. In spite of everything that you're going through, in spite of all your experiences, you are still God's people. Way back, God had made this covenant with his people where he said, you will be my people, I will be your God. We will be in this together. I will be your God. God never broke that covenant. God never reneged on his word. His people did. And in spite of that, he still says, comfort, says your God. Your God. It is so important. They still have a father who loves them. They still have a father who calls them home. They still have a father who wants to strengthen them in every situation. They are still God's. Verse 2, they have been forgiven. Their sin has been paid for. Yes, you've been sent into exile because you rebelled against God. You have broken his law. You have broken his heart. But your sin has been paid for. It's as though a royal pardon has been given. You're forgiven. Your sin's been paid for. Your hard labor is over. And that is comforting truth for a people who are shattered because of their own wrongdoing. And God speaks into that. I'm your God. And your sins are forgiven. And there are grounds for our hope. But he doesn't want to leave these people where they are. And there are some lovely words all the way through this passage that simply speak of God's care, of God's love for us. So right at the end of the passage, verse 11, we simply read, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. And thank you for putting this up on the screen. Thank you. He gathers the lambs in. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads them. This is a God who's not prepared simply to leave us where we are, but to bring us home. The God who tends us. The God who gathers us in his arms. The God who holds us close to his heart. The God who gently leads us. This is the God who speaks comfort into our lives. This is the God who offers to give us that strength that we need. And only a strong God can really be so tender. Only a strong God can do this. A God who is weak, ineffective, distant from us, is never going to be able to do these things, to tend, to gather, to carry, to lead. Only a strong God can do these things. And the interesting thing is that what God does for his people, he does so that many may see it and also know him. The glory of the Lord, verse 5, Graham up there, the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it. They'll see what God is doing. So God's people experience this comfort. They know that he is still their God. They know that their sins are forgiven. They know that he is the one who is going to gently lead them home, and the world around sees it. And God's glory is revealed. And we can trust God in his word. Verse 8 has this lovely picture of grass and flowers, which nice to look at for a season, but they're gone. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. How can we trust God? Because his word stands forever. Last week we looked at that verse where Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. These things will never pass away. Everything around us withers and falls, but God's word stands forever, endures forever. We can trust God because of this. This is not trust in some sort of impersonal force, the Star Wars God, may your God be with you. May the Force be with you. This is the God who in Jesus Christ has shown us unfailing love. It's not a good luck charm where we carry a Bible around with us hoping that it will give us some sort of good luck from day to day. It's not that. It's far from it. This is the trust in the God who is committed to you. The God who cares for you. The God who forgives for you. The God who comforts you. For God is the same as his word. He is unchanging and reliable. And so when God speaks comfort into our lives, that's what happens. When God speaks comfort into the life of his people through Isaiah, that's what happens. When God speaks comfort into our lives, that's what happens. When God speaks of what will come, that is what happens. And it is such good news. But it comes with responsibility. So verse 9 simply says, these people who are hearing these things, go up on a high mountain. Go and find yourself a high mountain. Get up on that high mountain. Lift up your voice with a shout. Do not be afraid. What are you going to shout? Here is your God. Here is your God. So these people who experience the comfort, the strength, the encouragement, the care of this loving God, they're to go up and shout about it. Here is your God. Look what he's doing. Look what he's done. Look what he will do. As we move through this period of Advent, as we look forward not just to celebrating Christmas time, the birth of Christ, but also acknowledging and remembering and anticipating that he will return, we should be doing something similar. The way that we live should be shouting, here is your God. When the world around us seems to be bowed down, God's people should be those whose eyes are lifted not because of what we are or what we can do, but because of what God is and who God is. And our lives should be shouting, here is your God. So how will we celebrate Advent, Christmas? There's a lovely reflection on the ladies' Blink WhatsApp group this week, just talking about all the panicking and the running around that's done and the need simply to be still in the midst of that. And perhaps that's one of the ways that we will shout, here is your God. Not that we're killjoys, but simply that we step out of that craziness for a moment or two, simply to acknowledge that God is God. Here is your God. How do we live? How do we live alongside a needy and shattered world? This is the God of comfort. The God of forgiveness. The God who sent this baby into Bethlehem to die on a cross, so that we too might know that our sins have been forgiven. Our sin has been paid for by this Jesus. This God of comfort who will bring us home. This God of comfort who can be trusted in every circumstance. This is the God who calls us to experience his grace, his love. Isaiah's message is so relevant today. So how will you and I shout it out? Not just here for an hour on a Sunday morning where it's relatively easy and straightforward to sing the hymns, to do all the right things, but what about this afternoon or tomorrow morning when we're with family or friends or at work or relaxing or whatever it is that we do? How then will we declare, here is your God? the God of comfort, the God of forgiveness, the God who leads us home, the God who is trustworthy. How will we demonstrate those things in our lives? Because how we live is dependent upon our experience of God's grace. We live grateful, excited, anticipatory lives because of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. That shouts it out. Here is your God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are eternal and unchanging. And as we bow before you, we pray that in these busy days, these exciting days, these anxious days, that we would know the truth of your word and experience the extent of your love for us. So work in us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, through your word. Draw us close to yourself. Lord, may we be amongst those who are held close to your heart. And then may we live in a way that shouts loud and clear. Here is your God. And to you, Lord, be all the praise and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.